There's my pen. There's my pen. All right. Hey, welcome to Hagman. It's the fourth day of February 2026. Every time I say, folks, let me ask you a question. All right. Now, I'm an old cranky SOB. Okay. But every time I think this is 2026, I should still be writing, like, you know how the checks came and the official documents always came with, like, the date, and it would be a line for the date and then 1-9 and then the blank line, right? I just feel I should still be writing like 19 something as opposed to 26 years into the new century. Wow. But anyway, that's what it is. A lot of stuff going on. Just a tremendous amount of stuff going on. But we don't want to bore you with what's going on, right? Of course we do. But not bore you, but we want to inform you about what's taking place. And I said something yesterday, and I'll just reiterate this. What is happening in this country is by design. It's by not just the Democrats. Oh yes, Democrats. That's just such a stupid title. It's by the liberals. Yes, it's by them, but it's by the Uniparty. It's them against us, right? There is no justice. There's just us, meaning just them. The people that we have in our sights are really, in a sense, we have in our sights the wrong people, because they're just foot soldiers of them, just them. It's them against us. And I want to draw your attention very quickly, because I want to get to Sam Andrews, bring him right on, because I can't wait to see, to hear what he's got to talk about, what he wants to talk about. The reason being that, the reason I don't know, for some reason, I'm locked out of the, I don't want to get, where I pull the content from, I'm locked out. So he sent some things and I'm locked out of that place where, anyway, who cares, right? So where was I? But I did want to say this. This is a spiritual battle that we're fighting, and people have to, and I think people are starting to awaken to that fact. And I just want to kind of throw some caution out there in this 2 minutes I'm imposing upon Sam. This 2 minutes I'm taking his time. I'm going to throw some caution out there. I had a great conversation with the Patriot Doctor. Actually, the Patriot Doctor, that's how I refer to him. I'm really going to get him on the show, because he's a knowledgeable guy, and he lives out in Missouri, where Sam lives, right? And we were talking today, and here's my caution. Here's my what I would say about caution. Be careful who you listen to. Now, look, you can listen to whoever you want, but be careful to whom you're receiving your information from, because there are enemies within. Now, our platform, over the years, we've had people come in, and I even hired people. So I'm a CEO. I'm up at the president of my corporation, and I've hired people to come in, and they turn out to be not the right people, and worse, the people that will attempt to take you down. I've had guests on. I've had people who actually I've given the reins to the show to, on a couple of occasions, and again, years past, who have turned out to be snakes. So just be careful, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. And today, right now, today, let me just say this. It is so important that we act upon accurate information. that we have all of the information we need. Think of it. Well, if we're in a battle, so the information accuracy is really tremendously important. So think about that. The second thing is I want to just, if you go to my account on X, which is Hagmann Report, at Hagmann Report on X, you'll find it. God bless whoever put this together and put this up. I don't know this person, but it's an 11 minute, 15 second video of Russ Dizdar. God bless him. I miss him tremendously. I was going to put a photograph up that it was one of the last photographs of Russ and I together, that he was so pissed, so angry when that picture was taken. So angry because it was, we were on an operation and, if you saw the picture, you would know. Eric the Tech, did you see that picture? You know what I'm talking about, Eric the Tech? Okay. All right. There's nothing controversial about it. Well, maybe a little tiny controversy. But nonetheless, I miss him so much. And there's, on my timeline, if you go to my, at Hagmann Report on X, you can watch 11 minutes of him. I do have some information, or I do have a lot of things that will be coming out because of this Pizzagate. Because of Epstein, the Epstein files, I've got things that I have not released personally that I'm going to be releasing because, frankly, it's time. And you may say, well, what the hell are you holding out? Why didn't you really? Because the stuff, you know, it's dangerous things. Okay. I'm just saying dangerous. But it's not things that you, and by the way, it's unpleasant, but it would be nothing that would make anyone go, wow, you know, that's going to bring down a country or nothing like that. But it's sensitive and it's, it could expose certain things, but nonetheless, that'll be coming up. So enough. Sam Andrews, freedomtrain.net, the Freedom Center USA. I am so excited, so happy to have him on tonight. This man has got an IQ. Okay, I think it's pretty much triple. I was going to say AOC, but that would be an insult to Sam. His IQ is, you know, off. He's a Mensa leader, and I'm not joking. The man has got, I could sing his praises all day long. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to bring him on. Sam Andrews, Freedom Center USA. Sam, God bless you. Thank you so much for spending time with me tonight.
Well, hey, Doug, thanks for having me. It's always fun.
You know what? And I'm not lying. I was so excited today. There are days I look forward to doing the show all the time. But today I was so excited that you were going to be on for the full show. I was like, my wife even said to me, she said, what's wrong with you? I said, what do you mean? She said, you're not this shiver usually. And I said, well, you know, I got Sam coming on. She said, I'm tuning in. I'm going to be tuning in. And she never does that. So there you go. So people singing your praises.
It never surprises me, you know, that people don't get tired of my voice, because I get tired of my voice. Man, I talk all day long. I answer the phone 70 calls a day. It's just unbelievable.
And you know something? I don't know about you, and thank you for saying that, because I get tired of listening to me too. And I get tired of my voice. And, you know, after a while, I stop listening to myself. Folks, I'm not joking. You know, it's like, just shut up already. And look, my wife, she's such a gorgeous, great lady. Okay, I love her to death. We went 40 years together, I'll never tire of it. She's just, but you know what? You know, even sometimes she says, "Would you just shut up now?" Lovingly so, but I get it. So.
Doug, I had this wonderful listener of yours call me today.
Okay, this is good.
And the first question she posed to me was, she said, she made a statement. She said, I stand with God. Do you stand with God? That was the first thing she said to me on the phone. I said, absolutely not. When it comes to God, I'm on my knees praying for mercy.
Amen to that.
I don't stand.
Yeah, and thank you for saying it like that, because first of all, that's kind of an aggressive way to introduce the conversation, and secondly, I would never claim to stand with God. I'd be on my I'm on my knees before him.
May God bless her, because she loves God, and I found that out in our conversation.
Perfect.
But okay. But honestly, you know, God blessed me with the ability to solve complex problems, and that's a gift, and everybody has their gift. You know, I'm not special. I'm just one child of God, equal value to everybody else. And honestly, all truth comes from God.
Amen.
And if you read John 1:1, the verse the Trinitarians try to use to say that Jesus is God, you actually read it in the original language when it says the Word is with God and the Word was God. The Greek word that we translate to the English word word is logos, L-O-G-O-S.
Correct.
Okay, and logos, literally translated, means well-reasoned truth from God.
That's from the Greek, right?
Yeah, that's from the original earliest manuscripts we have.
Okay.
And so, I'm not saying Jesus isn't the Word, don't get me wrong, because there's other verses that say that.
Right.
John 1:1 does not say that. John 1:1, if you read it in the original language, basically says that the truth is God, the truth is with God, and the truth is of God. You see, that's been mistranslated in English for decades and decades. And it gets worse, yes. My point in saying that is all truth comes from God. We don't own it. We can't lay claim to it. And I told a couple of your listeners today on the phone that were calling me about peptides and wanting to get involved, you know, I don't make the rules. I just live here. Now, do I try to understand the rules? I do. I do my best to understand God's laws of physics. And that's why I love physics. It's why I have a passion for physics. It's why I have a passion for science and mathematics. And I have taught many people what most people who say to me, I hate math. What they don't understand is that mathematics is the language of our God. When you understand math at a high level, when you've gotten past differential equations and you've gotten into some serious mathematics, you start to understand, oh my Lord, this is the language of our God. And when yeah, you
absolutely and frequency and other physics, it's all connected to mathematics, right?
It's all there. So everything that happens in our world. And I love the spiritual battle, the physical battle. I love these arguments. But I hold the theory that everything you do in the physical world has spiritual consequences. And everything that happens in the spiritual world has physical consequences. They are inseparable. They are entwined at a level that the average person doesn't understand.
I agree with no, just to be clear. Because I'm not sure I heard you correctly, but everything in the physical has spiritual consequences and vice versa, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I believe that after, again, invoking the name of Russ Dizdar, we had lengthy conversations about that, just him and I, and you're excited. That's what he was the first person ever to really drill that into my head.
Oh, so really? So Russ felt that way.
Oh, 100%. Well,
see, I never got to speak with Russ Dizdar. I never spoke with him. I never got to talk to him. I feel cheated in a lot of ways because what a guy he was. You know, but I wish I had had time with him and time to discuss some of the more important things in life. But it's so important to understand these things and that God has intertwined everything. The world is a giant web, and when you pull on this part of the web, that part over there moves.
Exactly.
And what did Christ say? He said, you will be judged according to your deeds. Okay, so there's half the equation proven to you by the words of Christ. Everything that you do, choices you make in the physical world, have spiritual consequences.
And to that, to what you just said, and since Russ is still in the conversation here, I just want to share this with you and to the people who are in the audience who haven't heard this. 2 months before Russ passed away, he stopped by my home and he brought my grandson a gift, him and his wife. And we were sitting on our back patio and we were talking, my wife and me, my wife and Russ and Shelley, his wife. And he looked at me and he said, you know, if I have my way, I want to die with my wife, holding her hand. And now I've heard him say that before, but the way he said it, and that happened virtually pretty much like that. Okay. But he looked at me and he said, you know, look, I'm ready. I am ready. Mm. And the way he said it, the context in which he said that gave me chills at the time. And I said, Russ, and jokingly, I said, is there something you want to tell me? And he laughed. He said, no, but I'm ready. Because about the conversation too. He said, what's coming? There are a lot of people that are not there. If they don't have faith, they're dead, you know? And, I know you feel that way too. So anyway, thank you for that, Sam. I appreciate that.
Well, another conversation I had with a different listener of yours today, we talked a little bit about, you know, I was asked the question, well, how do you choose who to work with and who not to work with? Because I have a lot more people demanding my time than I have time for. And so I have to make choices.
Yeah.
There's only 24 hours in a day. I got to sleep, got to take a shower, got to eat once a day, you know, or once every other day, depending on what kind of a week it is.
I usually do mine like once a month, every, I'm kidding, but yeah, I get it.
Well, and I answered the question. I said, look, if you go to scripture, it very clearly says that God will blind the minds of the unbelieving to the truth. Now, to me, at this point in my life, with the limited time God's given me left on earth, you know, I've decided to choose, conscious choice, to choose to work with people that recognize truth. And I told this person, one of your listeners, I said, you know, when I hand someone truth on a silver platter, comes from God, but I hand it to them and I say, here's the truth. And they don't recognize it, I know who they work for.
Amen.
You know, and it's not our Father in heaven.
That's right. Okay.
And so I choose to work with God's children that love God, that recognize truth, because no matter how hard I try giving truth to someone who is not a believer in God, I tell you, the COVID, please don't take the vaccine, right? How many thousands of people did I say that to? And the ones that love God heard that and said, so glad you told me that, Sam. I didn't take the vaccine. And they're still with us. And yes, some of my friends who I said, please don't take the vaccine, died 1 day, 3 days, and 5 days after they took that vaccine.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, I have started to recognize a pattern and started to realize from a practical, experiential knowledge standpoint, that people that don't have faith in God, that don't believe in God, are incapable of recognizing truth. They literally can't see it. It doesn't matter how hard I try. It doesn't matter how many times I explain it. It doesn't matter how small a parts I break it down to them. Can't see it. And it could be something as simple as the laws of physics, something spiritual, any truth. They don't see it.
I was reading something and this made me think that truth, as you speak, or as you're referencing,
yes,
faith again, as you reference, but there's also another component, and that's fear. They're interconnected, and one perhaps one drives the other.
Have you got more on the fear component so I understand where you're going?
Well, okay, just in the context of being fearful of, well, hearing not the truth about the vaccine, as again, folks, let me use that word, even though it's not really a vaccine, but hearing the so-called truth by the legacy media and by the monsters about taking the vaccine. It's safe. It's effective. It'll do this. It'll do that. Along with, if you don't, you will die a horrible death.
And I yet mean, here we sit.
But see, the driver of action, in my view, in that scenario, is the erroneous belief, because belief is the driver of our action. It's the belief and lack of faith, along with lack of discernment, but belief and lack of faith that was the driver for people to run toward this pharmaceutical
thing.
So to explain where I'm coming from.
And one of the smartest people in the world I know said, we don't make our best health decisions nor our best spiritual decisions based on fear.
Amen.
Right? We base it on logic and truth and science. You know, and notice all these people that were saying follow the science, they're bogus, dishonest science, now have trouble following the science with just about everything.
Yeah,
amazing. We have been lied to so much by Big Pharma, by the FDA, by the CDC, by the WHO, by the NOW, you name the organization, we've been lied to. And, you know, I was thinking before the show how embarrassed I am and how am I going to stand before God? I'm not. I'm going to kneel and beg for mercy.
That's but right.
I used to, I had some aunts in my family that were overweight. Some of my sisters were overweight. And I was always this athletic, trim, fit guy. And I literally would look at people that were overweight when I was a young man and just go, what the H is wrong with you? You know, why don't you just stop shoving food in your mouth? That was my position at the age of 23. Okay. And now here I am.
So you won a lot of hearts and minds at 23, right?
No, I was very critical, very judgmental. And here I am before your show thinking about how my attitude has changed as I have gained truth about God's design in biology. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if you're overweight, it's not your fault. It is not your fault. I can prove it scientifically. It's not your fault. You know what happens when people diet and they lose weight?
Hold the phone. So, you see the videos on social media of these absolute slob. I say this, look, 20 years ago, I was a fat pig, okay? Mm-hmm. And it was self-inflicted. Mm-hmm. Okay, I take full response, and I look at pictures of my, and I asked my wife today, I'm not lying, because I found a photograph, I found a photograph of a picture that was what was taken in 1988, and I looked, and I was like my face looked like a friggin' beach ball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but I look, it was my fault because I was drinking, you know, a 2-liter thing of Mountain Dew, cramming pizza in my pile, not exercising. I was doing all that.
I get all that. Let's get to the biology of how that happens. Rather than my emotions, my judgmental feelings as a young man, which were ignorant. Okay. And you're, I'm not discounting your personal experience, but let's go to Hosea 4:6.
All right.
My people perish for their lack of knowledge. Now, some people read that and they think it's education or book knowledge. But the actual word in the original language means experiential knowledge. In other words, you've experienced how it works. And if you haven't, if you don't have that experiential knowledge, that's why you perish. Okay? So now, let's take that thought, that verse, into the revelation in biology I have learned over the last 3 years. When you diet, and a lot of people try, they get overweight, they look in the mirror, and they go, I don't like what I see. I got to do something about this. So they try eating less, and they have a little success. They lose 10 or 15, maybe 20, maybe 30 pounds. Then they hit a wall. Okay, why do they hit a wall? Why do people get discouraged and quit and they wind up putting the weight back on? And I now know the answer biologically. There is a switch, PJC1 alpha, in the human biology. If you diet consistently, let's say you only eat 1,200, or if you're a shorter, light, smaller person, a gal, you only eat 800, 900 calories a day trying to lose weight. After a couple consecutive weeks of that, you turn that switch off. And now your body goes into survival mode and it stores every single calorie it can get away with as fat. And you almost make it impossible to lose weight. But if you diet 5 days a week and 2 days during the week, hopefully 2 to 3 days apart from each other, you eat some carbs, more calories, 1,500, 1,800 calories with some carbs, a measured amount of carbs, not all carbs. You prevent that switch from turning off and you continue to lose weight. Okay. Right. Now, who knew that before I said that? If you're not a human biologist or a serious nutritionist with a PhD, you don't even know about the switch, right? Now, what is one of the largest killers of Americans in the United States? It's cardiovascular disease.
True.
Okay, why did that cardiovascular disease develop in all these Americans that are dying? My people perish for their lack of knowledge. Okay, well, we were told, eat the food pyramid. This is what's healthy.
Right.
Now we know that if you eat things other than fat and protein with vegetables, if you eat fruit, if you eat potatoes, if you eat these things that are huge on the glycemic index, if you eat these things that we were told for 40 years were healthy, you're going to have type 2 diabetes, you're going to have insulin resistance, and you're going to have cardiovascular issues. We have been told for over 60 years that your HDL and LDL, your total cholesterol, is too high. That is a complete lie. There are more than 20 studies out now that prove cholesterol levels over 200 have no association with cardiac events, neither heart attacks nor strokes. In fact, people that actually have heart attacks and have their cholesterol, their blood test at the moment they go in with the heart attack, they draw blood, see where you're at, their cholesterol is actually low. The number in your lipid panel that's associated with cardiovascular events, heart attacks and strokes, is your triglyceride number. It has nothing to do with your HDL. We have been lied to. Okay. How many people are taking statins, destroying systems in their body that they need to be healthy long term because they've been lied to and said, take this, your cholesterol's too high?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I could go on and on about this stuff, but the fact of the matter is, everyone that I have explained the truth to and said, this is how it really works, and they understand the truth, they successfully lose weight. They don't have these plateaus and these things that stall out. Because once you have the truth about God's design, you know what to do, and it's not hard to execute. You don't need this iron willpower and all of this crazy stuff, you know, where you're practically starving yourself and causing other problems trying to lose weight.
Right.
You know, that's just one example of how our people perish for their lack of knowledge.
Absolutely.
And it is so important to get good advice. Like you said, be careful who you choose as your experts. Who do you rely on? Who do you listen to? And most of these doctors, I'm telling you, they're pharmaceutical reps with a white lab coat and a God complex. They don't do research. They don't stay up on modern technology, particularly American doctors. And they have no right to lay claim to being a doctor. They're businessmen first, and they're masquerading as health professionals. And I have no problem with a doctor driving a Ferrari. I see these guys at the racetrack all the time with their expensive cars, fast cars that they love to drive. I have no problem with that. If you're a doctor first and a businessman second, the fact is you can heal people as a doctor and still be a multimillionaire. You can care about your patients, do the research, and still have a great business model and be highly successful financially. There is no excuse for being a businessman first and a doctor second.
But again, speaking with the friend of mine who's a physician, he was saying that the system as it is just understand this or take this in the way he meant it. The system itself forces a doctor to be that businessman first, or to assign business duties to someone very close. Otherwise, the doctoring portion, he wouldn't be able to be a doctor. Does that make sense? I mean,
there is some truth to that because they are forced to follow the pharmaceutical protocols. Okay. They are right. Forced to subject themselves to the FDA, what's approved and what isn't. And if you don't follow that, you get your license pulled. So there's a lot of truth to what he's saying, but here's the thing. My wife asked me a tough question today. Last night we were driving back from Springfield. And she said, well, what if you were a doctor and you were prescribing stuff that wasn't FDA approved and they came and they arrested you? Okay. I said, well, let's talk about consequences. Do you want consequences on earth or do you want consequences when you have to stand before your father on judgment day? And let me ask you this question. If you were given a choice to heal people however you could and make that your priority, and you get arrested and they try to throw you in jail or they pull your medical license, okay, that's a problem. Now, what happens on judgment day? You stand before God and you say, I chose to use medical protocols that I knew would damage my patients, would kill them ultimately, but I chose to follow the rules that were immoral and to kill your children, Father, rather than disobey those rules that I knew were wrong and actually heal your children. That is the choice that I made.
Ask the doctors who are penalized and their licenses taken away for during COVID.
Just for objecting to the vaccine, the fake vaccine we call the clock shot.
Correct. Yeah.
So my point is, or on judgment day, would you rather stand before your Father in heaven and say, if he tried to convict you by saying you broke the rules and you got thrown in jail, would you rather be able to stand before him and say, I broke the rules to heal your children?
Choose.
Everything has eternal consequences. Yeah. Every physical act, make your choice.
Choose wisely. Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? I mean, what did Jesus say? Build up treasures in heaven. Don't worry about these clowns down here.
Yep.
Did Jesus buck the system? He was such a rebel, they had to kill him. Talk about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus bucked them at every turn. The Jesus that most Christians talk about is not the Jesus that I know. Jesus that I know made his own weapon called a scourge, went into the temple and whipped some tail and turned some tables over and drove the money changers out of his father's house. That's the Jesus that I know. Okay, he was a complete rebel. And here we draw the distinction between what is legally right and what is morally right. If the laws are well written, those two become the same thing. If they're poorly written, they are not the same thing.
Good point.
And, you know, you see, let's get into the Trump administration and all the lies we've been told by Donald Trump and his administration, particularly around the Second Amendment. How many different Trump get-togethers before the election did Donald Trump say, I will protect the Second Amendment, I will be the most pro-Second Amendment president in history? Okay, well, first off, let's put this in perspective. Being the most pro-Second Amendment president in history is like saying, I'm the tallest guy on a basketball team made up of dwarfs. Okay, that's not saying much.
Right.
First off, okay, so saying I'm the most pro, that's not saying much. But here's the truth. He sold us a bill of goods and told us that he was pro-Second Amendment. Okay, now, I'm going to tell you that him and his staff have been lying to us since day one. And you may say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm going to prove it. I sent Eric a series of slides and videos.
I did see that, by the way. I do have those now. And
did you see them now? Okay.
Yeah, I did. And so, I can see them in a tile fashion on my screen. And wow, okay, folks, buckle in.
If Eric, anytime he's ready, he can put the first slide up there and we'll talk about it. Okay? This is a statement from Donald Trump himself, your president of these United States. And I quote, well, I haven't heard that, but certainly he shouldn't have been carrying a gun. Hey, look, bottom line, everybody in this room would view that as a very unfortunate incident, okay? Everyone, unless you're a stupid person. All right, let's finish his quote here from the president. I don't like that he had a gun. I don't like that he had two fully loaded magazines. That's a lot of bad stuff. And despite that, I say that's a very unfortunate incident. Okay, now this is Donald Trump.
Yeah, he's talking about the Minnesota
shooting.
He's talking about
the Freddie
shooting. Right, okay.
Okay, so you see a president right now in that statement identifying an inanimate object as being bad stuff. Okay?
Yes.
And I'm here to say, as an intelligent human being who thinks before I open my mouth, that guns and loaded magazines don't carry moral value. That you have every right under God's laws to defend yourself and carry a gun with 10 magazines if you want to. Has nothing to do with anything. If you don't pull that gun out of its holster and threaten one of God's children with it, you're good to go before our Father in heaven. That's why that God-given right is encapsulated in the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights in our Constitution, because the basic right to self-defense and to life supersedes all the other rights and supports all of the other rights. So now, Donald Trump, through his own words, convicts himself of utter stupidity and utter ignorance of the Second Amendment and utter ignorance of the basic God-given right to self-defense. Through his own words, proves it to the world. And when somebody shows you who they are, you damn sure better believe them. Now, let's go to the next slide. Or video, whatever comes next. Okay, here's Kash Patel, the head of the premier law enforcement agency in the United States of America. Okay, what a crock. As Christie said, that's Christie Noem, you cannot bring a firearm loaded with multiple magazines to any sort of protest that you want. It's that simple. Oh, really? So, Cash, what you're saying is, I can't exercise my Second Amendment rights in the same time and place I'm allowed to exercise my First Amendment rights? Have you lost your ever-loving mind, you ignorant punk? I can't believe someone who heads the FBI, who claims to be a Republican and a conservative, would show us he is so completely ignorant of the Bill of Rights, what it stands for and what it means and what practical application it has. And I'm ready for the next slide anytime.
Okay. Now, hold on before the next slide. Let me ask you a question. You and I spoke before the January 6th protests, if you will, at the Capitol. If I remember, if my memory serves me correctly, and pay attention, sedition hunters, and bite me, sedition hunters, weren't we, or wasn't there a discussion about being armed in going to that event? And there was, a decision made not to, because, well, just kind of for this very reason.
I'm not going to comment on January 6th. I'm going to take the 5th on that.
All right.
Okay. But I'm going to tell everyone that in local law in Washington, D.C., the Bill of Rights does not exist. You don't have a First Amendment right. You don't have a Second Amendment right. And we're going to get to why here at the end of this series.
All right. Fair enough. And folks, for that reason, look, don't think Sam weaseled out on that. There are some legalities here, and enough said. And I apologize for
even asking. It has to do with local law and the Constitution, right. And that's going to be my conclusion.
Okay. Carry on, sir.
We're going to answer that one.
All right.
Okay. Next slide. Okay. Who is this clown? Okay. Bill? Bill is an assistant district attorney in California. If you approach law enforcement with a gun, there's a high likelihood they will be legally justified in shooting you. That is so naive, so stupid, and so dangerous to say. You know, there might be a dumb cop that reads that and actually believes it. That puts all of us at risk. Because approaching a law enforcement officer with a gun in your hand, which I've done many, 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 many times, thousands of times in my life, A, didn't get me shot, and B, as long as I'm not threatening anybody with a gun or pointing a gun at anyone, it's not unlawful.
And to add to this, not that I have to, but I will, I have myself approached a law enforcement with a handgun. And I, of course, obviously the handgun was, I was carrying it responsibly in my hands. It was pointed downward. They saw me. They didn't know me. There were six law enforcement, in this one instance, I'm thinking of six, the police officers, one that did know me, the, five did not. And I had no problem whatsoever. None. Zero. So,
because they respected your right to carry and bear arms.
Yes.
As long as you weren't threatening with it, they shouldn't have had a problem with it.
Exactly. So, okay.
All right,
so,
let's do the next slide.
Go ahead.
Okay, I think this is a video. We should probably play that. Turn the volume up. It is not a video. Okay, this is Jeanine Pirro on Fox News telling the world, I don't care if you're a law-abiding gun owner. You bring a gun into Washington, D.C., you're going to be arrested, and you better pray that you somehow get your gun back. Okay? Let me tell you, the backlash to her for this has been incredible. Let's go to the next one. Okay, this is the real Trump administration. The two cheerleaders for the NFA, the National Firearms Act, okay, and this is the most onerous anti-Second Amendment law that's ever been passed. Why? Because it creates a gun registry. It creates a suppressor registry. It creates a firearms accessory, a weapons registry, okay? Completely unconstitutional. And the most pro-Second Amendment administration in history has a DOJ that does nothing but support and cheerlead for this unconstitutional garbage. There's the truth right there. Let's go to the next slide.
And hard truths here.
So in this slide, and Trump's been lying to us the whole time, okay? Now, here we have Jeanine Pirro's retraction of her statement the day before. She says, let me be clear. I am a proud supporter of the Second Amendment. Washington, D.C. law requires handguns to be licensed in the district. Okay? With the Metropolitan Police Department to be carried in our community. We are focused on individuals who unlawfully carry guns and will continue building on that momentum to keep our communities safe. As if the Second Amendment doesn't help keep our communities safe. So what she's saying is you have to lawfully register a gun with the police department in D.C. to exercise your Second Amendment right. Let me tell you this. Do you have to get a permit and register for your right to free speech? Do you have to register to have the right to a jury trial? Let's go on. Let's go to the next slide.
Yeah, I got to say, Sam, arguably.
Now yes. Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be really cool, Doug, if we actually had a federal law that said, well, gun registries just happen to be illegal. So they're not only unconstitutional under the supreme law. Man. Oh, my God. I just found this law. Title 18, United States Code 926. What does it say? I think Eric has the next slide that might tell you what it says. No such rule or regulation prescribed after the date of the enactment of the Firearms Owners Protection Act, 1986, passed by law, put into law, may require that records required to be maintained under this chapter or any portion of the contents of such records be recorded at or transferred to a facility owned, managed, or controlled by the United States or any state or any political subdivision thereof. Next slide, please. Let's get to the conclusion here. Nor that any system of registration of firearms, firearms owners, or firearms transactions or dispositions be established. So here's a federal law that says it is illegal to register guns or gun owners. Right there in federal law.
Yep.
Title 18, 926. What's the next slide? Oh, wait a minute. That crazy judge that I used to have respect for and thought she was a conservative until I did my research. If we could shrink that down and show that article in the New York Times from 2004. Here is Jeanine Pirro openly supporting the assault weapons ban continuance. So they're voting on whether to renew the assault weapons ban. And here she is publicly claiming in this article that she supports the renewal of the assault weapons ban.
The hell's an assault weapon?
So, Jeanine, define assault weapon for... Oh, wait a minute. You want to outlaw or ban the most popular rifle in America. Really? Well, this was before Bruen, right? This was before the Bruen decision. This was before this. Oh, wait a minute. It was after Title 18, 926 was passed in 1986. This is 2004. So I got to ask a question. See, this is a problem I have with professionals. She was a prosecutor for over 20 years. She was a judge. She handled cases with Title 18, 926. She prosecuted people that implicated the law, federal law, Title 18, 926. As a judge, she presided over the criminal sentences of people that implicated Title 18, 926. How could she not know?
Is it ignorance or malice?
It's malice. All right. She's a liar. She's pretended to be a conservative that's pro-Second Amendment. And she's about to pay the price. Gun owners in this country have exploded in their response to her complete total ignorance of the Second Amendment of the United States. And so, like I said, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. And her statement, I don't care if you're a lawful gun owner, if you're carrying a gun, we're going to arrest you and you'll be lucky to get your gun back. Really, Jeanine? Come and take it, you little psycho. You're a judge and a prosecutor, and you go before God and the people of America and claim to be pro-Second Amendment. Anyone who had even a modicum of understanding of the Second Amendment, not even a professional prosecutor, anybody that's ever looked at the history and the reasons why, has just a tiny bit of knowledge, would have never spoke the words you spoke. That would be like someone who's saying, well, I'm anti-child rape. But you know, if you rape a child in Bermuda, not America, you know, I'm okay with it. Would you believe that person was anti-rape? No,
of course not.
No one who's truly anti the abuse of children would ever let those words come out of their mouth. Jeanine Pirro is a liar and a fraud. She has followed the political winds. She has no moral framework foundation for freedom in her soul. Neither does Kristi Noem. Neither does Kash Patel. Neither does Pam Blondie. And neither does that turd that I used to have tremendous respect for, she hired to head up the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice.
Armit.
Prove me wrong. You know why? Because when you say things like I'm pro-Second Amendment, here's the problem. People are going to compare your words to your actions, and we're going to hold them up together and go, do these two match? Or are there conflicts here? You all are so full of conflicts, you're full of cow dung. And it's obvious now to the American people. It's obvious Trump isn't pro-Second Amendment. It's obvious Jeanine Pirro isn't pro-Second Amendment. It's been obvious Pam Blondie isn't pro-Second Amendment. She was anti-open carry, anti-Second Amendment, anti-bump stock as the district attorney of Florida. Okay, it's obvious that Kash Patel thinks that you can't carry a gun if you're at a protest. Could you be that stupid? And if you are that stupid, why are you head of the FBI? I mean, I got some real questions at this point. What are you doing as head of the premier law enforcement agency in the United States of America if you don't understand Title 18, 926, if you don't understand the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution? What are you doing there? Shouldn't you be rehabbing homes, you know, in southern Arkansas or something, you dumb? You know, I can't even believe the Trump administration is this bad at communicating. I can't even believe that they were foolish enough to show us who they actually are.
Well, the question I have then, Sam, is what are we going to do about it?
Demand the removal of all of them. Demand, call the White House, tell them, you now understand, based on the words of Donald Trump's administration, that he is not a pro-Second Amendment in his administration, and if he still claims to be, he better fire Blondie, he better fire Kash Patel, he better fire Kristi Noem, and he better tell anyone who wants to speak on the Second Amendment to shut their flipping mouth and let an expert talk about it. Because right now, none of America, 100 million gun owners in America, know that this is a giant lie by the Trump administration. And we also understand the consequences of this. And that means that Donald Trump and the Republicans are going to get slaughtered in the midterms like you've never seen before. Even Bill Clinton was shrewd enough to say, don't screw with the Second Amendment or gun laws. Do not get them fired up.
Do you think enough Americans are paying attention to this? Because I in my head, yeah. Sam, I can envision people tuning into this broadcast and listening to this and saying, well, you know what? This is all BS. This is, I mean, they're pro, but only, I mean, it really doesn't matter. The stammering, stuttering, responses to what you just showed, okay, would say, you know, nah, this is not that important because they're not anti, really, they're not really anti Second Amendment. Okay. you know what I mean? I don't know if the elevators, the mental elevators, and this is not meant to disparage anyone, go that high.
Well, let's go back to what we talked about earlier. God would blind the minds of the unbelieving to the truth.
Good point. Okay.
Okay. You know, if you don't understand that these statements are very revealing about where these people are philosophically, okay, then you don't understand. But we have survived as a country many anti-Second Amendment administrations. That's not the problem. The problem is what's going to happen in the midterms and the fallout from that bloodbath.
And that's
a problem for you. So if you don't think this matters, you better demand that Trump fix this. I'm telling you, God is my witness. I am telling you, the midterm elections are going to be what destroys this country So get ready. Buckle up. It's coming. And the Trump administration, Donald Trump, has no pulse. He can't feel the pulse of the American people. Jeanine Pirro can. You wouldn't believe the backlash she got from around the United States, calling her a hypocrite and a coward and a fraud, because she is. Okay? And if you don't recognize and don't believe people when they show you who they are, that's your problem. But you know what? It's about to be your grandchildren's problem. So I would highly recommend that everybody call the White House and demand that Trump keep his promises about the Second Amendment and get rid of these clowns that speak the words, but their actions go the opposite direction. You know, if I tell you, Doug, slap you in the face, and I say, Doug, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. It'll never happen again. You say, Sam, I forgive you, and I slap you in the face again. You believe my words? You believe my actions?
Obviously, your actions.
You better start paying attention to the actions, right?
Yeah.
Because their words don't match their actions, and that's a big, big problem. And let me tell you, let's say that 100 million, 120 million gun owners in this country, and 60 million of them don't care about this issue. Doesn't affect their behavior one iota. The 10 million that do, that don't show up to the midterms, there's your bloodbath, and there's where we lose the country. This is not a game. I'm talking about losing the House, losing the Senate, Trump becoming a lame duck, and this country coming unglued at the seams.
Well, right now, we don't really have much in the Senate. They can't even pass a friggin' law. And Sam, think about this. They cannot, right now, with the SAVE Act, cannot have that standing filibuster, talking filibuster, whatever you want to call it, in order to pass the SAVE Act, or to demand, to make it law that you have to have voter ID. What in the flying flame and F is, are you out of your mind? Why? To me, every American should be like ready to throttle the entire Senate from Senate
leadership. The U.S. Senate is so corrupt. The Republicans are terrible. They're bought off by Big Pharma. Yep. They're in bed with the Democrats. I mean, you wouldn't believe the level of corruption that's there in the Senate. And we have some really good House of Rep people.
I mean, even Susie Wiles let Donald Trump say, yeah, the SAVE Act needs to be passed. But seriously, if you are an American citizen, well, actually, if you are an American in a leadership position like the Senate or the House, and you're against mandating voter ID, what is wrong with you? Well, you're a traitor, and you should be treated as such. And then, Sam, in that line, same line of thinking, and I'm going to, two things I want to get your take on ultimately whenever you want, but why are we not being more proactive in that respect, demanding?
We're not healthy. We're not healthy as a population.
You mean physically or mentally?
Both. We don't have normal testosterone. Most men don't have a normal level of testosterone in them. And they've had brain fog and issues since they were 45 years old, which, by the way, all of that's fixable. But the fact is, when your body starts to go downhill, so does your brain. The literal scientific definition of aging is when your cells decline at a rate faster then your ATP energy level can repair them. That is literally the definition of aging. And it starts to show up for some people at 30, 32, and some people at 45, but it shows up for everybody depending on your ATP production of your mitochondria. Biological mitochondrial health is human health. They're the same.
which is why we as a platform stress that topic so much, the health. And just let me throw this in there too. The second thing that I was going to mention is you see these checkpoints being set up in Minneapolis, and I for the life of me, I have no idea why anyone would stop. Okay, my car, my truck, I should say. Look, I'm not good at reverse, unless it's necessary. But I'll tell you what, that would be the day that I got some fat, purple-haired, mask-wearing, Antifa, bone-smoking tranny out there stopping my car, or stopping me, or trying to stop me, and you know, checking my plate in this unauthorized checkpoint. You know, again, Sam, but people comply. And again, for the life of me, that wouldn't be me. And thank God it's not me, because you know, you'd be reading different, there'd be headlines, okay? But again, people are complying to this. They're stopping, and my head hurts thinking about this. Why? But your answer is physical, mental health, right?
Well, let's do a quick survey. Go back and scan the videos of these protests in Minneapolis. How many Olympic athletes do you see in that protest line? I mean, no, you see fat, stupid, mentally ill people that don't take care of their bodies. Their brain is degraded. They can't think logically. They only think emotionally. And you look at these people, okay? And I got to tell you, if your body is not in good repair, neither is your brain. The same things that degraded your body degrade your brain at the same exact time. I'll give you an example.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah.
You get insulin resistance by eating too much sugar. Okay. And through a couple other factors that we now know based on some recent studies that cause insulin resistance. Okay. And your cell receptors get clogged. So your cells cannot uptake insulin. The door can't be open. The signal can't be realized. That G4 door that's supposed to open and let the insulin and the energy into the cell doesn't open because it's like sticking bubble gum in a key lock that hardens. You can't get the key in. Okay. This is how insulin resistance manifests itself. Okay. Well, you know, if that's your bicep and you're trying to lift a case of canned food and put it in a truck, that's one thing. But when the cell receptors get clogged in your biceps, they also get clogged up here. And when your body can't take in insulin, your brain can't take in insulin, and those cell receptors are clogged at the same time, two things happen to the brain. B-amyloid plaques and tau tangles, protein tangles, within the neurons and the synapses of the brain. And you get this literal brain damage that impairs cognitive thinking, impairs cognitive process. And this all happens together. Here's the thing, though. Most people, when you look at somebody, you can go, oh, yeah, they're 200 pounds overweight. They don't look very healthy. It's kind of obvious. But when you talk to them, they seem bright and cheery and happy, you know, and relatively normal, can have a conversation. The brain is so robust and so elastic that you don't notice until people get into their 50s, 60s, and 70s that their brain is toast. And see, this is the problem. The brain is so elastic and such an amazing organ that it's constantly rerouting around the damage so you can still process and function. Doesn't mean your brain's healthy. It just means you're hanging on by your fingernails. See, and they now call dementia, Alzheimer's, is now classified as type 3 diabetes.
Right.
Where it's really type 3 happens at the same time type 2 does. It's just the symptoms don't manifest themselves until there's been 15 to 20 years of damage. We now know this, scientific fact. And you look at these people in these protests, try to find one healthy person. Find one. The healthiest guy I've seen is Preddy. The guy that got shot was driven to his knees, had five officers on him. He was disarmed, and then they shot him 10 times. That's the healthiest guy I have seen at a protest in 5 years.
Okay, so by your measure and metrics, and again, I will feel free to correct me. Those people, those of us, hopefully I can throw myself into the healthy mental and physical, at least rationally sensible, you know, if rational sensibilities and can logic, can function logically and assess threats. So by your measure, that there are, I would suspect there are still sufficient a number of individuals out there, men specifically with good testosterone, that could take on these morons, these impaired morons without too much of an issue.
Sure. Most men can. Yeah.
All right. So now I have another question. Let's just say this, that those listening to you that have been on the edge or at the precipice or otherwise impaired, they become through are now back to a functioning individual mentally and physically. That does not automatically cause them to
change their political stance.
Well, no, change their action. In other words, it doesn't. It's not a driver of action.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is.
Okay.
So, I want to add the third component to that. We talked about physical health and mental health being tied so closely together, but we also have to. We also, and this is an omission if I don't say this, we have to talk about spiritual health, right? Because if you don't believe there's a God and you're involved in depraved acts, God will leave you to your own depravity. There's no coming back from that.
All right. That's
okay.
Perfect.
So body chemistry starts you down the slippery slope, and then the damage to your brain and your body start to accumulate, and then your ability to process and think goes downhill. Next thing you know, you think there is no God, and you work for Satan or whoever, and then you get involved in these radical political beliefs, or you get paid to protest, which I think Preddy was a paid protester. I think he was doing that to make extra money. You know, right. Daddy wanted a new car kind of thing. So I think that's going to come out eventually. But the fact of the matter is that if you're not healthy physically, you're not healthy mentally, and you're very easy to mislead at that point. But body chemistry is behavior. People that have low testosterone, okay, and low, particularly low free testosterone and high estrogen, that men with that condition don't act like men. They just don't.
That's okay. True.
At Central Intelligence, we did this huge test where we had cortisol levels high, estrogen levels high, testosterone low. You aggress those men, they don't fight back. They don't defend themselves. And you take guys with high cortisol and high testosterone and low estrogen, you attack them, they don't fight back because the high cortisol blocks the body from using its own testosterone. The only group of men that actually fought back when they were aggressed immediately were men that had high testosterone, low cortisol, and relatively normal to low estrogen. Body chemistry is behavior, particularly with men. And, you know, they talk about toxic masculinity. That's the biggest horseshit known to man. Okay? There's nothing toxic about testosterone. As a matter of fact, men that have high testosterone are the most reasonable, most calm, most secure people on the planet. They're the least likely to be toxic. You know, the men that are toxic are the ones that have low testosterone and high estrogen.
And that is, man,
that's a fact.
Thank you. Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up because we have been, as a population, we have been pushed into that, whatever that is, that's
cesspool system. That's what it is. It's just a false belief. And we've been deceived. We've been misled. We've been gaslit for decades.
Yep.
And there's no truth to any of it. And see, I grew up with men that had testosterone of 1100 and their hormones were balanced even when they were 40 and 50. And those men were so calm and so reasonable and so careful with their words and so non-reactionary and so slow to anger. They were thoughtful, logical, careful geniuses. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not toxic. What's toxic is when the estrogen rises and the emotional decision-making comes out and the testosterone's low. And then you get men that are dangerous and kooky and unpredictable. And that's a biological, chemical fact. Don't call me and try to argue with me. I don't care what you think. I've read all the studies. I know the science. So don't call me and give me your opinion. I don't care. I only care about that. I don't care about your feelings. It's that simple.
Yep.
Feelings don't trump truth. Okay. You may want to believe Trump is pro Second Amendment and his staff is, but your feelings don't override the fact that their actions don't prove that. As a matter of fact, their actions prove the opposite.
The biggest problem I had and still do, you know, if you're asking someone, we'll say something happened and you're trying to get down to, you're interviewing a witness, okay, for example, and someone, that witness says, well, I feel that, and then whatever follows from that, I don't give a damn what you feel.
Okay. Yeah, just answer the question.
Just and exactly.
Well, what does scripture say? Let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Right.
How do you know you're talking to a Christian man? You ask him a theological question and challenge his belief system, and he answers you yes or no instantly and clearly.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you know you're talking to a manipulator from a religious theological standpoint? You ask him a question, he equivocates for 20 minutes and never answers the question. Never.
Yeah. Tune into any Senate or House hearing, C-SPAN. Just watch C-SPAN. And that's exhibit A in terms of equivocating and not answering a question. Absolutely.
Did you see Kennedy questioning the new head of the ATF?
No, I did not. No.
Under oath.
What was that this week?
Oh, yeah. It was just last week. And he said, so I found this really cool grenade launcher in Europe. Can I buy that and bring it to the United States? And can I have that as a weapon? This poor guy, his young attorney who's worked for Cruz and worked for some really high-end judges in the federal system. he looks at Kenny and says, well, sir, I'd have to check and see if that violates the NFA.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
It was so funny. And you know, he said, and then I'd have to measure it against the new Bruin decision, which isn't new. It's several years old. Right. But he talked about Heller and he talked about Bruin and then he talked about Rahimi. I'd have to measure it against these Supreme Court cases, you know? So in other words, he had no flipping idea and they're going to put him as the head of the ATF.
You know, I do have, now, are you talking about, was it a female that was?
No, it was a man. It's a young male attorney they're going to appoint to be the head of the ATF.
Okay, because a number of years ago, there was a woman that I remember an exchange with Kennedy, and but nonetheless, it sounded very similar to what you were talking about. Okay, interesting.
But, you know, just once, I'd like to see an attorney say, you know, any firearms that are in common use for the defense and lawful purposes of the American citizens should not be restricted in any way. Just to open with that, show you have a modicum of understanding of the Supreme Court precedents, the Second Amendment, and Title 18, 926. Just to open with that and just show, give people a glimmer of hope that you're not a complete moron. You know, and why? Why do I know more about these laws than a judge and a prosecutor with 40 years experience? What do? I stand at a lathe and make barrels and assemble rifles. And occasionally I teach a firearms class. And occasionally I take a call on peptides and say, if you want to heal your body, this is how you do it. We know it works. Try it. Right? I mean, I'm not an attorney. I'm not a prosecutor. I'm not a federal judge. Why do I know more about the gun laws of this country than these jerks masquerading as professionals? That bothers me. Because I guarantee you they don't know more about cutting a chamber on a sniper rifle barrel. I could promise you that I know more about my field than they do. Why do I know more about their field than they do? That's shame on them.
Well, I guess a more basic question is not just why, but how. Well, why or how do we have in the United States House of Representatives a man dressed up like a woman and calling her, you know, being everyone, she demands everyone addresses her as a woman. He demands. I mean, how does that happen? So your question is much deeper, much more complex. Yet the people in a certain area allegedly put this, cross-dressing mentally ill person is their representative in the House. You know what I'm talking about. So, I mean, wow, we just have so many issues and problems. And yes, lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, or complete disregard for the Second Amendment. Bill of Rights.
It's everywhere. It's with the Republicans. It's with the judges. It's with, you know, the people that have actually done a reasonable job of defending the Second Amendment are the Supreme Court. You know, we've had some bad decisions, but the Supreme Court that's up there now has actually been really good. They've demanded that these lower federal appeals courts start respecting the Bruin decision and start respecting Rahimi. I mean, they've actually advanced the Second Amendment significantly, Supreme Court, more so than Donald Trump and Pam Bondi ever have. You know, it's unbelievable that Trump has gotten away with this lie to his constituents about being pro-Second Amendment. Every time Trump opens his mouth, he says something anti-Second Amendment. And the funny thing is, he doesn't even realize it. Who's advising this guy? And why are these clowns, these female clowns that know nothing about guns, nothing about defending anything, nothing about the Bill of Rights and why the Second Amendment was put in place, why are they speaking for the Trump administration on Second Amendment issues? If I were the president, I would be sending out a group memo. Shut the F up, people. Find an expert that's not going to piss off every gun owner in America. I mean, the stupidity of this is the naivete of this and the damage that it's doing to our cause as Christian conservatives is unbearable and it's unacceptable and the cost is going to be unimaginable. Mark my words, November this year.
So walk me through. Now, I believe barring an act of God, I do believe that we are, that the left is going to take over in both House and Senate. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a shift in power. They've already come out and said, we're coming after you. I mean, in so many words, what do you expect to happen? Let's stipulate for this conversation that the right loses. Then what? What's going to happen?
They're going to impeach Donald Trump.
Yeah,
it's going to go to the Senate. Okay, I don't think they'll have enough votes for a conviction for the trial in the Senate to convict.
Right.
The country is going to go into chaos.
As if it's not already, but okay.
They will probably vote to defund ICE. The question is, do they have the votes to override a veto? I don't know. But I could tell you this. We're going to see something akin to 1967, the long, hot summer, where we had 40 U.S. cities burning all on the same night. That's what's coming this summer. And so I would find
pre-midterm. Just to be clear, that's going to happen, I mean, pre-midterm.
Yes.
And you know what, Sam, I haven't told you this, but I've been monitoring not the signal chats, but there exists forums on state-owned servers. Okay, now, whether or not, for example, Minnesota DMV knows on their server that there's an active communist forum. Okay. So I've been watching, or I've been monitoring this, conducting online surveillance of these groups. These members are the ones giving the orders that go to the Signal chat groups. Okay. Having said that, they're already planning for ambushing using firearms, ambushes against ICE, making lists of conservatives, where they live, what they drive, where they work. And they intend on, and also they're mapping out neighborhoods of what they call their enemies. And that would be you and I. Mm-hmm. And there's a box in there too. Check if you know that they own firearms. And they intend, this is not me saying this, is, and by the way, I did send all of this to the FBI. Yay me, right? And oh boy, warm fuzzies. But if they're planning this now, do you see this? I mean, is that the kind of stuff that you're thinking? I mean, because that would be much worse than the 68, 67, 68, 60, yeah, 68. It'd be much worse. I mean, and what do we do then? And what happens then? Because I'm going to tell you, there's going to be blood in the streets.
Think about Jeanine Pirro aiding and abetting these people. You don't think there's a few liberals that have access to the gun registry of Washington, D.C.? You don't think they're going to use that gun registry to attack law-abiding gun owners?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they are. Every single time we have a registration system, it precedes the confiscation and the attacks, the aggression. In every country in history ever, there's never been an exception. Germany had a gun registry before they took all the guns from their citizens, you know, under Hitler. I mean, know your history, people. Pay attention.
What was the level of compliance? Okay, so not with respect to the registry, but now let's just say the worst happens. And yes, turn in your guns by X date or we're coming for them. What's your compliance level thinking?
Here, kitty, come and take it. That's really? Where I'm at.
Well, that's where you're at. But in general.
In cities and in the more liberal suburbs, you're going to see these fraudsters of men that have testosterone under 200 and think like a chick. They're going to start shaking and going, oh, we got to give them our guns. Here you go. Take it. It's yours. Right? And you get in the outer suburbs and the men that own small businesses and that have normal levels of testosterone, come and get them. You may get me, but I'm going to kill five of you. Okay? And after they start losing teams of confiscators and a couple people, neighbors band together and say, if they attack you, I'm going to drop them. I'm going to shoot them in the back from across the street. If they attack me, you do the same thing. And all of a sudden people start working together. There isn't anybody going to want to confiscate guns. That'll take about 2 weeks to end that whole charade. Because here's the thing. There's only 44,000 FBI agents.
Field agents. Right.
There's a handful of FBI agents. Take 44,000. Give them half of the active military, because half our military is deployed overseas. Let's say the whole military joins in on the gun confiscation. Now you got about 200,000. Most of those aren't shooters. They're mechanics and they're logistics people. They're not soldiers. They're not 11 Bravos. Okay, but let's say they all have guns. Give them to all 200,000. Make them shooters. Give them all the federal agents. Now you got 300,000 people, right?
Right.
300,000 going to fare against 100 million gun owners with 20 trillion rounds of ammo.
Okay, that's
a mismatch.
But would so if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that yes, this administration, given everything that we've seen, and folks, this is why this context is important. Everything we've seen, will in fact, or would, could, may, I guess would be better stated, may issue a gun confiscation order. Is that what you're telling me?
Will this administration do it?
Yes.
No, but the Congress and the Senate will, and they may override a veto. Because just like Jeanine Pirro, these liars that pretend they're pro-Second Amendment to get elected, when the legislation comes before them, they'll vote for it. I don't know if you remember a jerk named Jim Talent, who is an American, Missouri, U.S. congressman, right?
No, yeah.
He okay. ran, he was this conservative from St. Louis County, ran in the 2nd Congressional District, told everybody how pro-gun he was and blah, blah, blah. And then every gun control legislation that came on his desk, he signed and voted for. He was good to go. The guy was a total fraud. And I remember that guy because I went to his campaign speeches and listened to him lie to everybody. Hmm. And there's U.S. senators, Republicans, out the yin-yang that are the same exact way as Jim Talent was. They're turncoats. They're traitors. They don't believe in the Constitution. They believe in their own political gain, just like Jeanine Pirro. They're not who they present themselves to be. Watch their actions instead of listen to their words. You'll know who they are. That's how important it is to watch the actions and not listen to the words. And
yeah, what a mess.
Was a hard lesson. But the Second Amendment, we will survive this. And the question is, at what level of bloodshed? Because I don't want bloodshed. I don't want civil war in this country. I don't want a person. But you know what? If we get slaughtered in the midterms and they have enough people to override a veto with a couple of turncoat Republicans, we are in big trouble.
Agreed.
It's not going to disappear, you know? And so, you know, like I said last week, our opportunities in America, I don't want to be all negative tonight. Our opportunities in America are enormous. It's like picking up gold bricks in a minefield right now.
I remember you saying that, and I used that expression once, and I got quite a few chuckles. So go on, because I get a lot of emails, a lot of notes and messages saying, well, you know what, you talk about all these problems, but you don't provide solutions, you don't offer any solutions. And I try, I mean, you know, so carry on with that, please.
Well, you know, yeah, because there's so many positive things. If we don't cause the Second Amendment community to go anti-Trump, which is happening right now as I speak, it needs to be stopped. And Trump needs to come out and do some emphatic, demonstrable things to prove that he's who he said he was, which I don't think he is. I don't think that's going to happen, but it might.
Okay.
I don't have a crystal ball. But the fact of the matter is, if he were to do that, and the Iran thing gets stabilized, and you know NATO's about to sign a pact to hold Russia accountable for their aggression, okay, Venezuela, Cuba's about to be taken over, that communist regime there. I don't know if you know this, but there's a private transport company in Russia that when Putin wants to move military equipment and Russian Spetsnaz, they use this private transport company for air mobility tasks. Okay. And that big plane just landed in Cuba. Okay. I don't know yet. I haven't gotten any intel on what that plane brought, but think of something the size of a Galaxy C5, right? Bringing lots of equipment and men into Cuba. Now, that same plane visited Venezuela about 12 days before Trump captured Maduro. So I don't think it's going to make any difference, but you know, you got to give them credit for trying. Okay. And the Russian government thinks they're sneaky. They're not. We see everything they do. Our technology is so far advanced over there. None of their technology worked in Venezuela. We disabled all of it in about 5 to 7 minutes and just literally walked in with helicopters. I mean, it was embarrassing how bad the Chinese and Russian technology, you know, defense technology worked in Venezuela. And it's not going to be any different for Cuba. So you're going to see Cuba fall. You're going to see this corrupt government in Cuba fall. You're going to see Iran's government fall soon, probably less than 2-3 weeks. Okay. There's already been a couple of skirmishes, contacts between the U.S. Navy and the Iranians, the Irish Republic, the Iranian Republican Guard. I almost said Irish. But no, the Republican Guard of Iran, you know, they've already tried to take over a U.S. merchant ship. A U.S. Navy destroyer showed up and put a stop to that BS. They already sent a drone out to test the Abraham Lincoln. That got shot down by a Marine F-35. So the kinetic side has already started. The question is Trump going to finish the job? And I think, yes, he is. In Iran, he's going to depose these clowns that murdered over 30,000 of their own citizens in the last month. You know, and I'm not into forever wars, and I'm not into being the world's police force. But, you know, when somebody who's ordered the hit of 30,000 of their own citizens gets taken out by the U.S. Navy, I'm going to have to give them a standing ovation. Go Navy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And that's not going to be a forever war. It's going to be over in minutes, if maybe days.
Well, okay, so I don't want to bury the lead here, and I think the lead in this in this discussion is you're now. I know a little bit about what you know. I know that you have the knowledge. Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is our technology is military technology, or technology being used for military purposes, is far superior to that of Russia, China, and certainly Iran and the satellite nations. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
We're very superior in our Navy, the ability to project force. We're very superior in our Air Mobility Command, ability to move ground troops and equipment. Right. We're far superior on advanced technology, directed energy weapons, lasers, space weapons, all that kind of stuff. And these clowns in China and Russia have no idea what we're capable. They have no idea. And it is beyond your wildest imaginations, Doug. I mean, it is. I mean, when we go into Cuba, any Russian Spetsnaz are there, they're not coming out alive. They're going to die.
Yeah. And I think because what I've heard, and folks in the chat and Rumble and listening to this, whether it's live or on archive, from what I heard, and perhaps maybe some from you, the Venezuelan operation, the advanced weaponry used by the U.S., I mean, scared the crap out of nations. Did it not?
Should. It should.
So I thought.
I'm telling you, when CAG comes for you, you guys think of CAG as Delta Force, right?
Yeah.
Operational Detachment Delta. We call it Combat Applications Group. What ACE. It's another acronym that's around. What operators in special operations, we refer to them as the unit. The unit. Okay. And they are the badass top tier one unit in the Army. And they have technology that you can't imagine for these types of operations. They can turn your body off like a light switch. They don't need to hit you with a bullet. Now, they can set their phasers on stun. I'm talking Star Wars stuff.
Right.
Okay. They can stun you, take you to the ground, puke in and semi-conscious, and then shoot you like fish in a bowl. That's exactly what happened to the Cubans guarding Maduro. Okay. I'm just telling you, if CAG comes for you, you know, you can say you can pry it from my cold, dead hand. Yeah. Now your hand won't be cold. You'll be heated up to a temperature your body doesn't like. Okay. There's just all kinds of technology the average person is not aware of. Do not screw with those guys. I mean, you look at what's going on in China. I don't even know this, but the premier in China just fired his top general for corruption. See, a lot of people don't realize this. There's a huge upheaval at the very top ranks in the Chinese army right now. This is no small thing, right? Xi Jinping, whatever you call him, right? He's decided that his top brass and his military have been self-enriching themselves and putting money in their pockets instead of doing their job. So he fired a whole bunch of them. And so there is complete turmoil in the Chinese army right now. That's why you're not hearing a lot out of China about our operations in Iran. if Trump does anything, it's time things politically at the right times. Now, Iran has been trying to reconstitute their nuclear program. You don't see that on the news, but that's been going on ever since Israel and our B-2s went over there and put a few holes in their project. So they've been trying to rebuild their nuclear program. So the bulk of the negotiations, which, by the way, broke down today, and everybody said, screw you, we're out of here. The negotiations actually broke down. And the Iranian leaders are scared to death. I mean, we know this from people on the inside. Like I said, one of my best friends, his father was the minister of oil in Iran before the Shah was deposed. And his dad had the wisdom to get them out just in time and move them to America. And he still has friends over there. I mean, I hear all kinds of stuff from people that communicate. And there are wealthy people in Iran that are not friends of the mullahs, these clowns that just murdered 30,000 people. And the people are angry. They're angry beyond. I mean, every person you murder, you got five or six family members that will never forget. You want to turn a nation against you, start murdering your own people. Because they outnumber you 10,000 to one. Doesn't matter how many guns you have, how many ammo you have. When they get ticked off, they're going to kill you all with pitchforks and shovels. Mm. And that's why tyrannical governments, once they reach the fourth phase of insurgency, they tighten the noose on the people, they go headlong into the fifth, and then the people rise up and depose the tyrannical regime. It's happened every time. The people never fail. When the streets speak, it's over. Okay, when they speak in mass, it's over. You know, so I don't give the clowns in Iran another 2.5-3 weeks. They're done. And as soon as we're done in Iran, we're going to deal with Cuba. And that's something that's been put off since the 60s. We should have dealt with Cuba a long, long, long time ago. I have been to Cuba. When I was a young man, me and my SEAL buddies used to sneak Zodiacs, okay, right into the middle of the island on the north side to bring in shoes and antibiotics and stuff for the kids in Cuba. We did that for fun because we used to fish and spearfish at Cay Sao, which isn't 35 miles from the coast of Cuba.
Right.
And so we just did that for fun, just to be cool and try and help some kids. You know, that's
amazing. But yeah, I laugh because that takes some grit. Yeah,
we did that for sport, but we had contacts. CIA had contacts in there on the inside, doctors and nurses that would ask us, will you please bring us this stuff? So we'd make a couple trips a year in there with a couple Zodiacs. We had some 45 foot and a 55 foot Hatteras. We would kind of sail right to the edge of their territory. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, we'd drop the Zodiacs, load them with the stuff we brought, and sneak in real quiet and slow on the north side of the island, drop the stuff off and beat feet and come back to the Keys eventually. You know, that's what we did for fun. You know, it was like I said, it was like a sport. It was like entertainment. You know, it's like TP in a guy's house that you don't like. That's kind of how we were. Immature, maybe, but we had a good time and we helped some people. So who cares?
I'm not so sure you can equate that. Maybe it's on the same level, but I get that.
You know, it was like pranking the Castro and his jerks, you know. Yeah. And we knew they couldn't figure it out. How are these doctors getting these antibiotics for these kids? And where did these kids get these shoes? These aren't made in Cuba. We didn't import these. Where are these things coming from? And so they knew it was like black market, right? Communists are so stupid.
That is amazing. Sam, if you'd entertain one question for me, which is kind of off topic, but I thought I wanted to ask this on air. I want to ask this to you on air about ICE activities domestically here. We heard where Tom Homan, his announcement to draw down federal agents from Minnesota. Do you have any insight, comments or commentary about what's going on there with that?
You know, I don't have any real inside intel on Homan and his operations. I'm a supporter of ICE. I'm a supporter of deporting these criminals.
Yep.
I think it's helped the murder rate. It's dropped the crime rate. I think anybody that opposes the arrest and deportation of a child rapist is psycho and should be locked up in a rubber room. You know, they have no moral justification for their sociopathic opinions. And I think ICE was doing a good job right up until they shot Preddy. That was a serious mistake. And that's probably the main reason Homan is trying to defuse the situation there.
Do you think Bovino did a good job? Now, under Commander, you know.
I can't judge him, Doug. I know his men made some real mistakes in the way they handle people. That guy that went up and shoved that woman, that's assault. I don't care how you look at it. That gal was not part of the operation. They should have focused on the people they were arresting and gotten the hell out of there instead of bullying citizens that were being jerks. And these citizens were being jerks. They were interfering. They were yelling and screaming. And they were opposing ICE, like, you know. And so did that woman deserve to be shoved on her back against the concrete curb? No.
No.
Did he deserve to be shot? Yeah. No. And for Christy Noem to lie and say he brandished his weapon and threatened ICE agents with his two magazines and his pistol, that's an utter lie. That guy never reached for his holster. They pulled his gun out. Somebody yelled gun. And then the idiot handling the gun probably fired it accidentally, or maybe that's a ruse trying to justify so the ICE agent doesn't get prosecuted. But they shot the guy 10 times.
It's something I just want to interject this. We can talk like this. Look, I'm 100% in favor of getting rid of every illegal person. I don't care if you're a member of the House. Get them the hell out.
Me too.
Okay. But we have to be intellectually honest and consistent in the application of force and law. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, I love the way you put that because it's not just what you do as a law enforcement officer. It's how you do it.
Right.
Okay. And do we really want federal agents violating people's rights and indiscriminately killing people that aren't a threat?
No.
I don't want to live in a country like that. No. And you know, you fix that with training. You train your officers. I train people. I train federal officers. And so what you do is you teach them how to communicate so they don't yell, gun, gun, gun. They yell, secured gun. I've got it. It's mine. It's mine. I've got it. He's unarmed. You communicate in a way that doesn't alarm your teammates so they don't inadvertently falsely think there's a threat. And then you murder a guy that's unarmed on his hands and knees, not reaching for his gun.
Yeah, and believe me, every situation I've ever seen where the gun, gun, gun was yelled, I think 100% of the time somebody took a bullet. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean that is such a poor procedure for handling that situation.
Yeah,
it's just poor communication, poor training, poor execution, fear making decisions rather than professionals making decisions. Fearful little bees, as I call them. I hate cowards. I honestly believe God hates cowards. What did Jesus tell us? Fear only your Father in heaven, who can destroy both body and soul. You know, look that verse up. You know, and how many people live that way? People asked me when I was in Ferguson, police, SWAT officers, special forces guys, what in the hell are you doing in Ferguson guarding those apartments with all those violent protesters burning buildings down? Aren't you afraid they'll kill you? And the answer is no. No, I'm not afraid. I fear my Father in heaven. I don't have to be afraid of humans. You know, what are you doing on a motorcycle? Aren't you afraid? No. I fear my Father in heaven, nothing else. Why? Because Jesus told me that's the right way to live. When you don't fear things, doing the right thing isn't as hard. It'd be clarity, moral clarity enters your soul when you stop fearing humans. I don't know how to say that more emphatically.
No, I think, and folks, please do me a favor and just ruminate on that. Okay. Just when you're sitting tonight, tomorrow, whenever you hear this, just consider what Sam just said, because I don't think a lot of people really put that much, thought, the intellect, as well as the, You've got to come to terms with that. And then maybe that's not the proper phrase, but
no, I think that's a good way to couch it. I really do. Come to terms with the fact that you're a child of God,
yeah,
and that Christ told you you're going to die for your sins. You know what Christ actually died for? Your resurrection. He purchased you from the Father.
Correct.
Bible calls it a propitiation, a payment. Okay. Christ paid to take you from the Father. I ask Christians all the time, do you belong to God? You know what they all say? Of course I do. Okay, well, go read Corinthians 3:23. Now tell me what's up. What does 3:23 say? It says you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. See, once you've sinned, you don't belong to God anymore. God can't tolerate sin. And your just position at that point is death. The wages of sin is, what did Christ teach? The wages of sin is what? Death.
Right.
That's it. That's the truth. So why do we have a chance at eternal life? Because Christ purchased us from the Father with his own death. And that propitiation, that payment he made, gives you a second chance at life. He purchased you from the Father for the purpose of fixing your sin problem and restoring your relationship with his heavenly Father. That's what Jesus Christ did. Lucky us, huh?
Yeah.
How it works.
Praise God for, yes. Otherwise, it would be a long time in a place we wouldn't want to be. Eternity is a heck of a long time, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, it's over. Our just position's death, separated from the Father, that's it. Lights out. Yeah. But because Christ purchased us, we have another chance. How important is that to understanding that you don't have to be afraid? You don't have to fear. You can fear your Father in heaven, who will destroy your soul if you don't walk a path of sanctification. Right? See, a lot of Christians, they confuse justification, sanctification, and salvation. They are not synonyms.
That's correct.
Understand the atonement process and what Christ did, you understand that when you look at Romans 10:9, you read that and you do it, okay? If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, not God, Lord. The Greek word is kurios. It means master, someone with appointed authority over you. If you confess with your mouth, in other words, if you say it out loud that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, future promise, you shall be saved. That is the moment that you are justified. You are set aside for a new purpose. Then you walk a path of sanctification. You learn not to sin. Okay? Now, then you die a physical death for your sins. Then, and only then, Christ says, you can read in John chapter 5, start around verse 25, where Jesus teaching his disciples about death, then you will hear Christ's voice and be resurrected. The righteous to a resurrection of life, the unrighteous to a resurrection of judgment. Okay? That's what the Bible says. That may not be what your preachers taught you, but that's what are in the words in red. That's what Christ taught you. And you go to John chapter 8, and you may read something like, to be a disciple of mine, you must remain in my teachings. Some English translations say you must remain in my words. Same. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, if you want to be justified and sanctified and have a chance at eternal life, you got to stick with what Christ taught, not with what your preacher taught.
Right.
Christ sets the standards for who are his disciples, not your preacher. Read it in the words in red in John chapter 8. Don't take my word for it. It's incredible to understand these things and to understand the love that Christ had. He even asked the Father, if there's any other way, can we let this cup pass from me? And his Father's answer was, nah, this is the way. And so Christ did what he had to do to serve his Father in heaven. It's an unbelievable, loving task to put your Father and his creation before yourself in the way that Christ did that.
Amen.
How powerful is that? Right? And when you understand that, and you understand that it's not asking for forgiveness, that gets you to salvation. It's what's in Romans 10:9. You must confess out loud that Jesus is your Lord, and you must believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you get that future promise, you shall be saved. Read it right there in Romans 10:9, chapter 10, verse 9. Read it for yourself. Do not take my word for any of this stuff. But it's all there if you want to read it. It's all there. You don't have to stick with the false teachings of the American churches. You can read the words of Christ and be a disciple of his by sticking with what Christ taught. How important is that towards your salvation?
That pretty much is everything. You know, we can talk ad nauseum about the various, I mean, any subject you want. However, at the end of the day, this is exactly, I mean, this is everything. And the
story makes what Trump does seem a little less negative, right?
It does. Yeah.
I love to tell people, you know, when we deal with these problems and you feel stressed out and you feel these things, sometimes you just got to take a step back and think about what Christ did and understand that the good guys win. In the end, read the last book, the good guys win. It's okay. It's going to be okay.
Yes. Right?
And so don't be afraid to walk through the minefield and pick up those bricks of gold.
And you don't there it is.
Hear anything but your Father in heaven. That's Amen. It. It's good. You're good to go. You know, and what did Jesus say? How much did God care for the sparrows, the birds, and how much more does he love his human creation, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, a little bit of trust, a little bit of faith in the process goes a long way, you know, and it will lower your stress levels. It will lower your cortisol levels. You start using some of this new technology we've got, you can start healing your body.
And we've got about 8 minutes left. Take this wherever this.
So I got to tell you.
Go for it.
My wife invested a bunch of money in peptides to try and get the price down for the average person. Mm-hmm. These online peptide companies are charging an arm and a leg for this.
They are. Yep.
It's terrible. And, there's one product, Retatrutide. There's people selling for $280 a vial. She's selling it for $93. Okay. BPC-157, she's selling for $24 a vial. I mean, I would encourage you
to
call me or call her and price shop this stuff. You're going to understand that if you want to heal your body with peptides, it would cost you $4,000 to $6,000 on the internet, depending on what's going on with you. My wife will save you $3,000 to $4,000 over the long haul. I mean, it's incredible what she's done. I'm so proud of her. I can't even begin to tell you how proud I am of this woman, because, you know, she was a special ed administrator in Oklahoma. She won special administrator of the year, I think in 2023, maybe, you know, for the state. Her own peers voted her as the top person in the state. She has such a heart and a love for children and special ed children, kids with special needs. And she has been fighting the Department of Education in Oklahoma. They call it the State Department of Education in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
She's been fighting the State Department about getting these kids counseling. And the State Department decided to clamp down on it because they didn't want to spend the money on counseling for kids that needed it. Yep. Well, one of the kids they were fighting for and the school district got refused counseling for committed suicide last week.
Oh.
And so there is going to be hell to pay for this in court, because my wife has been the champion of these kids and she has been right about everything. And when she left the state and moved to Missouri, I think they lost their champion. You know,
it sounds like it. And folks, I would not want to get in the way. I would not want to get between Sam's wife and the objective. Okay. But let me just, ain't going to happen. And also on the peptide thing, I do want to say this, and Sam, again, correct me if this is not right, but folks, please, if you know, you know, okay? And if you don't know, you can ask, but don't call up Sam and say, what's a peptide? Okay. Again, if you know, you know. That's not what Sam is offering here. He's offering for those people who know, He's offering that ability to save money on the product. Is that about right?
Yeah. Sam? If you want, and here's the deal. I tell people, if you help us with the legal fund, we put you in a raffle for this. Okay. That's a $7,000 sniper weapon system that there's nothing in the world that compares to it. I hand built it. It's the last one I'm going to build in my life.
I can even hit the target with that. Yeah, go ahead.
You could hit a target 1,000 yards with that. No yeah. problem at all. Now, if you're willing to help me with my legal fund, I'm going to help you. And here's the thing. You don't have to be in pain anymore. We know how to heal joint pain. We know how to regrow cartilage. We know how to protect the heart and the arteries if you've had cardiovascular issues. We know how to heal Alzheimer's and dementia. If you don't believe me, go to YouTube, look at a video on a channel called Physionic, Physionic. There's a PhD biologist who very intelligently summarizes a video on NAD plus and Alzheimer's. And it wasn't a study about rats and NAD plus. It was a study about humans with Alzheimer's. Not only did they make the brain damage disappear, which they have photographic evidence of, the cognition and memory came back on every one of these people. Okay. So if you want to understand the power of peptides, look at what NAD plus does for Alzheimer's. Go watch that video on Physionic and watch it to the end. And you are going to be stunned at the modern technology that our FDA and our crooked senators in the U.S. Senate prevent us and our doctors from curing people. Now, I'll give you a second example. Anktiva, A-N-K-T-I-V-E, anti-cancer drug, kills cancer, invented by an Asian guy, an American Asian guy in California. 20 years we've had this. And the FDA just recently narrowly approved it for one tiny sliver, particular rare type of cancer, one rare type of cancer that less than 0.1% of our population cancer people have. Okay, what did Saudi Arabia do? They just made a deal with this guy to produce Anktiva in Saudi Arabia and treat every cancer patient in their country with it. That's the difference between our FDA, our crooked senators, bought and paid for by Big Pharma, and a government that cares about its own people. Know the difference. Now, you don't have to deal with pain. You don't have to be, if you're tired of being overweight, if you're tired of being weak, if you're tired of that brain fog, the things that mess with your memory, short-term memory is usually what goes first. Okay, you start forgetting why you walked in a room or where you left your keys, that kind of thing. If you're tired of that and you want answers, you call me. I'm going to hand you the answer on a silver platter. I'm not going to charge you a dime for it. And if you buy peptides from my wife's company, I will teach you how to use them for your research project. I will teach you step by step how to do this. Now, we have a process. We ask you, not to waste a lot of our time, but I will spend time with you on the phone. I'll figure out what's going on with your pet kangaroo and what we need to do. And you'll go get some blood work up. And when you get your equipment, when you get your stuff, you call me and I will walk you through everything step by step. And you are going to be stunned at what this new technology that has been hidden from the American people can do. I'm not talking supplements.